I was away this week in Sacramento, California at a conference, and while I was there, I was thinking, I said, what we need to do is not to take what we're receiving in this conference, but to do what God has called us to do at home. He's given us a vision, and I was telling my wife driving in, I said, there are so many things that God has spoken in the past, and he's given us opportunity to do, but now it's about doing it. It's about doing it, and as we become aggressive in that area, we're going to see some things transformed all around us. So I'm excited about it, and I'm coming back with a renewed hope. In fact, by me turning 68, I think about the fact that there is a certain amount of time that we have on the face of the earth to complete the assignment given. That was what I was meditating upon, and I guess some of younger folk don't think that way as much as we do when we start getting older. You don't think about the fact that you don't have as much time as you've had. You know, I'm past the mark of saying that I have more time ahead of me than I have behind me, because I'm a realist in that particular regard, that I know that I've had more years behind upon this earth than before. But at the same time, my focus is not just upon the years upon the earth. My focus is on eternity. When we talk about eternity, you see, it gives hope to those that grow older, because we realize that eternity is forever. Eternity is, he says, forever, and then he adds on, and ever. I don't know how you put something after forever, but it is forever and ever that we will be with the Lord and that we will enjoy his presence. So therefore, brings us to a place where we have more to anticipate than we have behind us. So today, I was thinking, and in fact, for the last few days, I was thinking, I said, I'm going to be coming back home and celebrating 68 years of life. Amen. And the Lord gave me a message in regards to that, related to the birthday that I just entered into. And the focus was a scripture that we usually read at funerals, but I think we need to think about it, not just when we're grief-stricken, because those grief-stricken moments aren't always the moments when we give the greater consideration. But even when we are at a place where we are not even considering the depth of the meaning of the scripture, we need to give it some consideration. And I want you to turn to the 90th division of Psalm and the 10th verse. Psalm 90, verse 10. You've read this, I'm certain, and meditated on it many times, but I trust today you'll see something in this scripture that you hadn't seen beforehand. It says here in 90th division of Psalm, verse 10, it says, the days of our lives are 70 years. And then it says, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. Now, this is a scripture that here's the part I want you to look at, the 12th verse. It says, therefore, in light of the fact that it says days are years, or our lives 70 years, some live to be 70, some don't live to make it to 70. But then it says, but after you cross the threshold of 70, by reason of strength, they are 80. And if it continues on, you see, the grace of God can take you and extend beyond all of that. It says, yet their boast is only in labor and sorrow, because whenever it happens, it's soon cut off and we fly away. But then it says here, here's a part that I want you to pay attention to here in 12th verse. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, and then the question is, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. I realize 68 has good mercy of God. But here, I'm going to talk about numbering our days. Numbering our days. To understand, we mentioned usually when people are grief-stricken, they read this particular scripture, but how teachable is one at the time of grief? Because oftentimes that person's angry, full of fear, hostilities, and mad at God, mad the fact that their loved one is no longer with them. But then in this particular scripture, he is saying, Lord, help us. Help us, help me to number my days as a gift from God. Usually we count time by years. How many of you know how many days you're old? Yeah, I'm such and such days old. No, we usually count it by years, don't we? We say, well, I'm this old because another year has passed. But do you realize God isn't just giving us years? He's giving us days. But he's not just giving us days. He's giving us seconds. We have to come to the place of realizing that even the seconds that we have are gifts from God. Every second that we're alive is a gift from God. So if you really want to be technical, we say, Lord, help me to number my seconds. Have you ever thought of that? Help me to number my seconds. I want to be able to number my days. I want to number my seconds. I want to number my years. I want all of these things to be measured or numbered. What is he really saying? He is saying that my prayer is that I want every day to count for something of substance or something of value. You see, because I don't want to waste any more time. That's what he's really saying. I don't want to waste any more time because I realize that time is a very precious commodity, and it can very easily happen that I'm wasting time. I'm wasting seconds. I'm wasting weeks and months and years. And beforehand, before long, I find myself with all these dreams and all of these aspirations, not fulfilling any of them, or very few of them. So now we think about that, but we also understand that things can turn completely around in a single day. Just one day, God can turn your destiny completely around. Do you realize whatever you are today and whatever you may be engaged in today, that God has the power to change that thing in a single day? Now we think about it. The Lord has appointed a day for you, specific day, special day for you. So we are not to look at any day as being uncommon or being common, because every day is uncommon. They're not to be taken for granted. Don't take it for granted. Every day must be taught by God something. If you really want to look at it, it's intentional living. Living on purpose. Living life intentionally. Now, the Bible helps us understand about wasting time here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. And in Ephesians 5:15, this is what it says in the New King James. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly. I like this word circumspectly because part of that word spectly or spectacle, spec, has to do with seeing. And circum has to do with circle all around. So it's really saying, when it says about walking circumspectly, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, it is really saying, walk in such a way that you are aware of your environment, that you're looking around, that you are not just walking about or doing what you're doing, but you're paying attention to things that's happening around you. Because a whole lot of stuff going on around you. You see it happening politically and socially, and there's a lot of activity that's taking place. But the question is, when we walk circumspectly, are you aware of the things that's happening in the world today? Are you aware of things that's happening right here and right in your own backyard? Are you aware of them? So when it says walking circumspectly, it is saying pay attention. Be aware of your environment. Look around and pay attention. So he says, see then that you walk circumspectly. He says, not as fools, but as wise. Why is he saying not as fools? Because some folks, fools rush in where angels dare to tread. See, fools doesn't care. They'll just rush. You see, there's no fear in the heart of a fool because he is ignorant of the dangers that lurk around him or her. You follow, there's one thing about being fearless, but it's another thing about being a fool. You would look at a person that's a fool and you think he's fearless. No, he's ignorant because he's unaware of the danger. He'll walk up to a lion and pet a lion on the head. One person did that one time, and he's going to take pictures because the lions appear to be so peaceful. I think I told you about it. The lions be so peaceful. They're laying back and they're cool and they're just doing their own thing. And this guy looked at this as a Kodak moment, and he stepped out of the car and he began to take a picture of the lions in the backdrop. And the lions were lying there very quietly, but in a matter of moment, those lions began to just jump on him and tear him apart limb to limb because he wasn't aware of the danger that he was in. He was just looking at the fact, well, that he thought he was safe. So understand that there's dangers all around us. It's not wrong to have an alarm system on your house. It's not bad to be at a place where you're careful on the highways. You're careful as you walk down the street that you're not just walking in dangerous areas and just going in there without any thought. But understand, it's good to be careful. Walk circumspectly, not as fools. And then it says, because redeeming the time. You have to look at these words now. Redeeming the time. When it talks about redeeming the time, it is saying that you are to cash in on the opportunities that have been afforded you. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. Redeem means, here's one word for redeem, buy up the opportunity. Buy up the opportunity. That's redeem. Redeeming the time. Where time, there's a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. Taking advantage of the time allotted you. Making the most of every opportunity. Turn each to the best advantage, since none can be recalled if missed. Redeeming the time. You can't go back and get that moment. When it's gone, you see. So you have to take advantage of every moment that has been granted you. Redeem the time. And then we understand, because here we are saints. We talk about those of us who are saved. We've been redeemed. That word we talk about redeem in relation to the redemption that took place in our lives is to be released on receipt of a ransom paid. Somebody paid for us to be saved. And that person that paid is Jesus. He paid with his life. God sent his son to die for us. And understand what happened as a result of that. It is redeemed. We are set free from self-will that rejects the will of God. Now we are at a place of willing to do the will of God. So it says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now here's what the Message paraphrase says concerning that. It says, so watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Did you hear me? These are desperate times, and they are. The Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 speaks of redeeming the time also. It says here in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, it says, walk in wisdom. Isn't that saying pretty much the same thing? Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Now, that's a word to the wise, isn't it? Every word, let your speech be with grace. We have to watch our words. We have to be careful what we say, because you can't take it back. Those words have been released into the atmosphere. You said it. So he says, so watch what you're saying. Watch what you're saying. Don't speak first and think later. Think first before you speak. So let your speech always be seasoned with grace. Grace, extending grace, releasing grace to others when you speak to them. He says, season with salt. Salty. Our words are invoking something within the people that we speak to. We talked about this house being filled with people that want to know the Lord. Why? Because we're going to be a people that's going to speak words that's seasoned with salt. We are the salt of the earth. You see, so we speak to people, what are we doing? We're redeeming the time. We're taking advantage of opportunities to speak life to those that we come in contact with. You follow? You can say a lot of stuff, and you'd be surprised how words, they say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words never hurt me. And let me tell you, words can hurt. Words can be very dangerous and very damaging. But we talk about words seasoned with salt. Now we are making sure that we're gracious in our speech. Hope you're hearing me. We're gracious in our speech. We're not here to wound anybody. We're speaking the truth, but we're speaking the truth how? In love. That's right. Speak the truth. Don't compromise. Don't be flattering. Just saying things that you think people want to hear. But you're saying what needs to be said, but you're seasoning it with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Now, the message puts it this way. Use your heads as you live and work among outsiders. Don't miss a trick. Make the most of every opportunity. Be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring, this is this part I want you to say, bring out the best in others in a conversation. See, that's good here. Listen to this. You want to bring out the best in others in a conversation. I trust that our time together will bring out the best in you. You follow? Not the worst in you, but the best in you. There's something in you, you see, because understand that we must go deep into the wells of salvation. You see, there's a lot of wisdom. There's a whole lot inside of you, but we want to draw it out of you. There's a lot of potential in you. That's why I said there's a whole lot yet to be done with your time that's not being done as of yet. But I trust that as you're hearing this message, that it's going to trigger something inside of you. So we'll bring out of you what's lying within you. You follow all that potential you've got. I mean, God didn't just save you. He graced you to be saved. And understand, when he graced you to be saved, he gave you grace gifts. There are gifts. That's in every one of us who are saved. And those gifts must be exercised. When you exercise a gift, what does that mean? You put it to work. You follow that? That's exercise. I have muscles. Did you know you have muscles? You say, well, I don't have muscles. Yes, you do. You have muscles. You have muscles. Did you know that? But many of your muscles are not showing. Many of my muscles are not showing. Why? Okay, you got it. See, I didn't put it on you only, but you follow what I'm saying? But when you exercise, it will bring out, because what are you doing? You are developing that which is within you. And oh, I'm telling you, church, we got to develop what's inside of us. You see, that's what God is wanting to do. He wants this church to be a church where we are developing what's within every member. That's why I said, you get bored if you're here and you're not developing. You're not growing. You're not being developed. So that's one of the challenges. That's one of the pledges I'm making in 2017 is that I'm going to challenge you like I've never challenged you before to grow. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to push you to your potential, to your fullest potential. And so understand, you'll say, well, some of you may think I'm going to be hard on you. The whole thing is going to push you to your fullest potential. There's too much inside of you. And there are too many people that need to receive what's in you. So we need to push. So that everyone, I'm talking about those that just come on Sunday morning and just, oh, yes, love me and love the church and love the environment. No, that's good. I'm glad at least that's enough to get you here. But let me tell you something. It's going to be more than just getting you here now. We're going to start pushing each and every one of you. I'm looking at some, I'm going to look away from you because I see a lot of potential out there. And I just thought, I said, boy, this fella here got so much potential. Because we've realized a lot of times at funerals how skilled and how talented individuals are. At the funeral, they begin to hear, oh, do you know this person that did this and that and the other and had this going for him and that going for him. She had this going. And I said, you mean to tell me all the while they were members of this church just sitting doing little of nothing? And this is what we needed. Everything that person had skill set to do, we needed it. But understand this, all of that potential was just lying dormant within the house of God. It was used in the world and used in other circles, but not used for the kingdom of God. I said, no, we got to get past that. If you have skill sets and if you can do some things, you did it in the world. You did it for profit. You did it for your career. But what about doing what you have the skill set to do for the kingdom of God? Because that's what's going to last forever. That's what's going to last forever. So now he says, look what he says. Let's go back to this. Use your head. your heads as you live and work among outsiders. Don't miss a trick. Make the most of every opportunity. Be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation, not put them down, not cut them out. Everybody involved. Are you hearing me now? Because if you don't understand this, we mentioned that God has given us a certain amount of time. And if we don't use this time wisely, we'll have all eternity to regret it. All eternity to regret it. You will be saying, because, you know, everybody's going to live forever. Somewhere. You see, you're going to live forever. When I say live, you will exist forever. Because we redefine life. Life has to do with our relation with the Lord. Because He is the way, truth, and the life. Jesus is the way, truth, and the life. So now, understand this. You're going to live forever. You're going to exist forever, either with the Lord forever or separated from the Lord forever. You follow? And if you're separated from the Lord forever, you will live forever regretting the time that you wasted. You'll be thinking about it. You said, why didn't you push me? Why did you let me get by when you knew what the outcome would be if I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Then you'll recognize the value of the gifts that is in you. If this is life that you might have taken for granted. You see, then you'll begin to hear sermons again that you heard. You say, oh, that's what he was trying to get me to see. But there's nothing you can do about it now. That's what I could have done. You mean to tell me that person to get saved because I didn't open my mouth? You mean that condition remained as it was because I was silent? I didn't pray. I didn't look at that thing as my priority. You mean it went by? Those were opportunities. You see, redeeming the time, opportunities that were fleeting moments that just passed me by because I didn't take full advantage of them. See, what is God's desire? God desires that his will or his heart, I would say, a fatherly love be expressed upon the earth. He's Father. But he wants the world to know that he's Father. You follow? His fatherly love. He wants you to know his heart. And how will he know his heart except he know his heart through us? They know his heart through us. Now, look at what Acts chapter 17 says here. It talks about the day. There's an appointed day. It says in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, it says, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked. Time of ignorance. There's a time, we talk about historically, but I would say even as we are growing in the things of God, there are some things that God will not be heavy-handed concerning you at a particular stage of growth and your stage of growth and development. Do you follow? We begin to see the pattern here. As we grow in grace, knowledge of the Lord, there are certain things that, you see, when you have a child, let's look at our babies now. We have a child. There are certain behavior, mannerisms that child may be engaged in, and the child may break something. The child may mess up. The child might have done something that the child should not have done, but you will take into account what? Just a baby. You're not going to be heavy-handed with that child. Why? Because the child has a grow to understand that this thing is precious. You understand the value of it, but the child didn't understand the value, so therefore the child was careless and broke something of value. But then it says, in these times of ignorance, God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. When it talks about repenting, as we are made aware of the value of what God has provided, he said, everyone to repent, because he has appointed what? A day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. When he talks about judging the world in righteousness, he is saying that the world would be judged based upon the standard that has been established by Jesus Christ himself. You see, the measure will not be based upon, God does not grade on the curve. Well, you're the best among others. You're the best among others. No, he says, no, here's the standard. We said, well, our culture. Culture evolved to a particular place where many things are being accepted that otherwise ought not have been accepted, and people just pretty much gravitate in that particular direction. God said, that's still not my standard. He said, you should have allowed me to be the standard, not your time, not what is in vogue in a particular time in history. He said, I am the standard. But he said, now, understand what he's saying here. He said, now he's appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man, Jesus Christ, who he has ordained. Now, what is it saying? It's that, listen to what's happening today. Jesus is revealing himself through his word. Jesus is revealing himself through his word. You said you have a different standard? You see, that will not be the standard by which the Lord will judge the world, or you will be judged by. You see, because what happens? You say, well, I believe that we don't have to do all that. I don't believe that it's necessary. You see, I believe this is my preference. My preference is such and such and such. That's not the standard by which you're going to be judged. You follow? Or leisure. It would be more comfortable for me to do it this way or that way. That's not going to be the standard by which you're going to be judged. You see, the time is going to come when Jesus Christ himself will appear. The brightness of his glory. You follow? When the Lord appears, we're going to see him as he is. But here's what happened. And then everything will be exposed by the light of his coming. You follow what I'm saying? So all the stuff in me, I have to hate it. those things in me that's contrary to the will of God. You follow what I'm saying? I'm not perfect as of yet, but I must despise the imperfections that reside within me. I said, I can't be satisfied or content with those things that do not measure up to standard. Because what I want to do, I want to be holy. I want to be righteous. I want the Lord to purify me. And understand this, therefore, you must receive a word that can produce that kind of result. You follow? So you can go on and find your level and say, well, you see, now we got a people that don't get on our case. I said, pushing you to your fullest potential. Now, you see, they tell it's all right for us to do whatever we want to do and be who we want to be, because the grace of God is sufficient for us to, you know, he's already forgiven us. We don't have to repent anymore. But let me tell you something. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says that the time will come. He command all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. He has given assurance of this by raising him from the dead. So when Jesus was raised from the dead, then understand the standard was established. Did you hear what I said? He established the standard by raising Jesus from the dead. What did he say? He said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, what will happen? The Spirit of the Lord will raise up what? His standard against him. So watch what happens here. Jesus said himself, and if I be what? Lifted where? Where? From the earth, what will I do? I will draw all people groups, or men, women, boys, girls, unto me. So what was he saying here? He is saying that as he was raised on the cross, you understand this? This death that took place was really for our redemption. Now do you see this? But then, listen to this now, you Falcon fans, rise up. But not only was he, in fact, me and wife was laughing about it. We said, I ought to preach today, rise up. And hoop. I said, and see how, we're going to grow this church then, boy. We're going to grow this. I said, I'm going to hoop it. But what happened? What happened? You see, he raised him from the dead. Not only was he raised on the cross, he was raised from the dead, which solidified the standard. So now when we look at the standard, when he talks about the standard here, you see, now there's no other standard. He's given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Do you see that now? But then we have to understand something about that day. And let's go back into scripture again in the Old Testament of Psalm again. 118 and verse 22. Look what it says here. It says here, the stone which the builders rejected. You know what it's like to be rejected? You know what it's like when you have value and is rejected? You have a clue what that's like? When you know that you are offering people something that's good for them, but they reject you, thus reject the gift. Do you understand this? Well, I can't receive from you. I said, if you knew what God had given me to offer you, I think you'd have a different attitude towards it, towards me. But understand this. But it says, but all you're doing is identifying with Christ. The stone that the builders rejected has become what? The chief cornerstone. He has become the chief cornerstone. You follow what he's saying here? Are you tracking me? Now, if you go to the New Testament, it said it was a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They were offended by the stone. But then it says here, this was the Lord's doing. What? Their rejection is the Lord's doing. Did you see this? And the promotion is the Lord's doing. So God was on, you see, the Lord was on both sides of the equation. He was there regulating even what was happening when the stone was rejected. He said, yeah, they're going to reject you. You're going to go to your own and your own's going to reject you. There's going to be people that can't receive from you. And I'm telling you here, let me just say this here, church. One of the things that I was challenged even a few days ago is that we're not going to allow this barrier, racial divide, to hinder us. We're going to pray some white people in here. And some Native Americans and some Asians and some, you follow what I'm saying? Because these barriers, for the most part, are sociological barriers that end up being psychological barriers because we feel as if we cannot reach them. And they may reject us because of sociological reasons, but understand, the stone that the builders rejected, God will promote to the place where there's no way to overlook it. So now look at what's happening here. The stone that the builders rejected now has become the chief cornerstone. He said, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. It's amazing how God can take rejects. Are you hearing that? That's amazing. Lord, why didn't you select the creme de la creme in society? Why didn't you select those that looked like they had everything going for them? The rich, the wealthy, the famous. Yeah, Lord said, no. I told you, I'm raising my standard. I'm raising righteousness. So understand this. I want you to allow that to take place within you. I want to purify you. I want your heart to be after me even all the more. We mentioned, watch your words, watch the attitude, watch your disposition, even in relation to those who reject you. That we're not going to have an attitude towards them. We're going to be a place we're going to love even those that despitefully use us, those that reject us, those that take issue with us, those that, here's the greatest, even more than that, those that can ignore us as if we don't even exist. Are you hearing something? So now, he is saying, it's marvelous in our eyes. It's amazing that God will take us and use us in such a way. Not just us, the rejects. You know, here's what's happening in our day. I was having this conversation while I was away too. I was talking about how the church has evolved. I would say Christendom has evolved in these last days. And I was talking to a prominent minister within Metro Atlanta, Baptist preacher, and he was talking about the millennials. We're talking about millennials and how in our day and time, how we have to be at a place where we are ministering to millennials. We're ministering to millennials. And there are certain ways, things we must do in order to reach millennials. But this pastor said, but we have to be careful that we don't reduce everything to the level of where millennials are. And I said, that's wisdom. You see, don't cater to the level of understanding and the other. But always be at a place where we happen to bring people up to a high level rather than going down. If we go down, that's grace now. It is to reach them, to bring them up. So now he is saying here that it's marvelous in our eyes how God does this. And then he goes on to say, this is his part. This is, you got to see all of this before we get to that part. You follow, stone builders rejected, time people will not receive sound doctrine. The day will come when they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The day will come when we will be considered the former church, the church that people used to go to, but they've outgrown whatever we have to offer them. You follow? Am I saying anything to you? You follow? They've outgrown this because now that there's some new fangled notions. There are some things that's happening today that's much different than your old school attitudes and disposition concerning Christ, because now we're broad-minded, you see, and we've expanded beyond those parameters that God has really established. So these are transgressions. You've gone past God in order to get to people. Do you follow what I'm saying here? So now, what does he say this? Then he goes on to say, this is the day. Wow. The Lord points out a day now. He, after all this is taking place, rejection and everything else, then the Lord comes on the scene and he says, he makes a new day. He creates a day. He creates a new day. And that's the thing. A new day dawns. Because the old day has passed away. Are you saying this now? A new day has dawned. That day's gone because it was only for a day. It was the time of the Gentiles. It was the time of such and such. It was the time of a particular thing to happen. But understand, but time marches on. And what is in vogue today is out of vogue tomorrow, because God is still going to have his day. And then when that day, we see the old, we see the sun going down on that day and the sun rising on a new day. Then we have a message. What is that message? We look around and we see the rising of the sun. And we say, this is the day. Oh, let me, I don't think, y'all, can this side stand? Why don't you stand up? Why don't you point to this day and say it? This is the day. I'm going to leave y'all out. What y'all say? What y'all say? What about this day? This is the day. Okay, middle folk. What day is this? This is the day. Y'all said it, didn't you? You're not waiting on a different day. But you've come to realize that God has given you a new day. This is a new day, a new gift, a new opportunity. This is what? The day, what? That the... Who made this day? You mean to tell me that God has given you a new day? And that new day is what? Today. But what you got to do, you got to step into the day. You got to step into the day that the Lord has made, because he made it for you. He made this day for you. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. Things are still taking place around you that's evil. But he gave you a new day. So step into the new day. A new day has dawned. Step into it. This is a day the Lord has made. So what are we going to do in this day? we will what? Rejoice. That's it. In this new day. In this day. Yeah. A new day for Cross Culture Church. A new day in our experience with the Lord. This is a new day for us, for our walk with Him. And are you glad? Are you glad in it? Now listen to the rest of this now. Now watch what you're doing today. Now that you've come in a new day, listen to what you're praying now. Look what you're praying. You see, we're rejoicing in it. Now it says, save now. Did you see what we're doing in a new day now? Now we're praying for salvations. We're praying that souls be saved, that people, that the lost come to know the Lord. Save now. Save now. When? Save tomorrow. Save next week. Save next month. Save next year. Maybe in 2020. We want to see our relatives saved. We want to see our friends saved. Want to see our workers, our co-workers saved. You see, we want to see people saved, huh? Now, when do we want to see them saved? Save now. Save now. Save now. You see what he's saying now? We're trusting God to save people now. Save now. Save now. We got some hard-headed relatives. We got some knuckle-headed friends. Save now. Why don't you pray that now? Why don't you pray that? Why don't you pray that to the Lord? Say, Lord, save. Call names out. Call some names out of people you want to see saved. Save them now. Call their names out before the Lord. Call their names out before the Lord. Call the names out of the people you want to see saved. Save them now, Lord. Save them now. Save them now. Save them now. Save them now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah. Yeah. It didn't just stop there. Look at the rest of this now. Look at the rest of this. It says, send now. I pray, send now. What? Prosperity. Let's not, don't run out of here when I say prosperity. But Lord, send now prosperity. The things that we need. So that we're not just managing life, but we're living life more abundantly. You follow? We are not just, we're not in a maintenance mode any longer. But you understand the vision that God has given us is being fulfilled. And it's going to take prosperity, prosperous prosperity, in order for it to happen. Not only that, you see, I don't want to be a slave to the bank. There, you know, churches are being repossessed today. People are being kicked out of their churches because they were servants to the lenders. And then there are places in the world that need ministering to. Missions budget ought to be more than we're spending in maintenance today. Are you hearing me now? Our missions budget should be that size or greater. But understand, as souls come into the kingdom, and as people buy into the vision, and we talk about seeing God's standard of righteousness, and understand, and they're being freed up so that now the attitude and disposition is a collective vision, that it's not just some of us that's about it, but all of us are moving in the same direction, then it's going to loosen up our giving to the Lord and our witnessing to other people. You follow what I'm saying here? Our trusting God for souls, our trusting God to move mightily among us. And understand, he's going to use prosperous people that have come from among us, because you had been taught the ways of the Lord, not to hoard anything. So God can trust you with money. Do you follow this? You can be trusted. So send now, Lord, send prosperity. Send prosperity. And then, here's the other part. And then you're saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from where? From Cross Culture Church, from the church, from the house of the Lord. God is Lord, not anything else or anybody else. God is Lord. And he has given us light. He says, so bind up the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. We read a sacrifice then. For you are my God. See, we're ready now to bless the Lord. You're our God. I will praise you. You are my God. I will exalt you. I'm done. I want you to see this now. This kairos moment. This is what kairos means. Opportunity or season, a fitting time, where God is ready to do what only he is capable of doing. So now, Lord, I need your help so that I can measure my days. The days often appear to be too long or too short. You don't have enough time. Or some will think they have all the time in the world. There are times when there are those that's too hasty. They get ahead of you. And then there are those that are too sluggish. They lag behind. There are those that are impulsive, and then there are those that are reluctant. So, Lord, what I want to do, I want to get in sync with your timing. So when you say do a thing, you say move in a particular direction, you say be in a particular place, you say give a certain amount, receive from me a certain gift, a grace. I'm at the right place at the right time doing the right thing. So, Father, thank you for what you have offered and what you are going to do among your people. As we redeem the time, as we measure our days, as we measure our days and redeem the time, We thank you, Lord, that no, this will not be church as usual. This will not be a people group that's missing the mark. But, oh, Lord, your house is going to be filled because we're going to pray them in, but we're going to go out and get them. Too many people are lost and hopeless for us to be complacent. Because this is our day. This is the day that you've made for us. We're rejoicing and glad in it, but we're going to work while it's day, because we know that night comes when no one can work. So bless your people now as we engage in the work to which we've been called. And we ask this now in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus.